Good evening, Rabbi Mayevsky. Very interesting parsha, and it has so many different facets. And I said that the topic was a father's responsibility in a child's life. But to get to that, I wanted to first explain the beginning of the parsha when it says, "Vayomer Hashem el Moshe emor al hakohanim bnei Aaron v'yomer toa lehem lenefesh lo yitamo b'yamov." And of course, the first question that's asked by everybody, which brings us to the topic at hand, obviously, but we'll get to that in a minute. Emor al hakohanim bnei Aaron v'yomer toa lehem. All the questions are asked, why the double lashon? Why does it say emor al hakohanim? It could have just gone on from there. Why does it say V'yomar to Aleihem? And who is telling who to speak to who? And it seems Moshe is being told by God to speak to the Bnei Aaron, not to Aaron himself. And why would that be, one might ask? Very simply because, unfortunately, Moshe was given the task to speak directly to his sons. Before, previously, when Moshe gave over to Aaron all the ramifications of bringing Karbonis in the Beis HaMikdash, something got lost in the translation. And the cause of it was the death of Aaron's two children, Nadav and Avihu. And now God is telling Moshe, speak directly to Elazar and Isamar. Don't leave it up to Aaron. It's a very tough way to look at it, but that question would have to be raised and asked, why would he not have to speak to Aaron? But on one way, we could answer that because Aaron himself understands completely that he is a Kohen, and because he has learned his lesson, and now it's not that he's being passed over and not trusted to speak to his own children, but rather it's always better to hear it right from Moshe himself, but nevertheless, it's exercising the right for Aaron to bring up his children, but children who are born as Kohanim automatically know from the day they're born, as they're being brought up, they understand that they're Kohanim and have a special role in life. When a king gives birth to a son, he doesn't have to be told when he's 13 that he's a prince. He is understood from the day he's born, he's being treated differently, and he's growing up as a prince in the palace, and a Kohen, especially Aaron's children, understand completely what their role is. The problem is that Aaron is what we say, we always know, we refer to Aaron as an Oev Shalom and a Rodev Shalom. The problem there is we always have to draw the line. It's very good to love peace and to run after peace, but we draw the line. There are times when what is the cost of sometimes peace? When people are fighting, sometimes we could make a pshara. We get in between them and try to work it out, and it works out well. But there are times when there's evil in the world, and to give in to somebody, to be a Rodev Shalom, to let peace come at any cost, is the wrong thing to do. We have the situation now in Ukraine, and we ask ourselves, some people want to look the other way and think, let them fight it out. Perhaps that way is better. Some people want to make peace and give away. We know what happened to Hitler when the countries in Europe gave in to Hitler initially when they wanted a little piece of this, a little piece of that. And I know Rabbi Alpert made a point of once saying that Esav is Gematria, the numerical value of Esav is 376. Strangely enough, the Gematria of the word Shalom is 376. But what does that mean? Esav also wanted peace, but spelled peace a different way. I want a piece of this and I want a piece of that. But that's unfortunately, so Moshe is talking to his children. They figure they might want to follow their father's lead, who was an Oev Shalom and a Rodev Shalom. But he also wants to tell them that there is a fine line, and sometimes we have to draw the line where we make sure there are times when somebody has to be called to task to straighten himself out. But also we notice there are certain things, the certain restrictions that a Kohen has. The evidence is what we're discussing is Kedusha, and we're trying to stress that. And God is telling him that we want all of Klal Yisrael to be Kadosh, obviously, but now we're just giving extra restrictions. The whole Sefer Vayikra is all about for all of us, ki cholu edof kulam kedoshim, we are all holy, we were all brought up V'amtem Tiuli Mamleches Kohanim V'goy Kodosh, but the fact remains that Kohanim have an extra level of Kedusha, L'nefesh Lo Yitamah B'yamav, but there are times, Kiyim L'sheiro, sometimes you have to, even if you're a Kohen, there are times when it's proper to become Tamei. Sometimes one has to, once again, there are times when you may cross the line, and that is Kiyim L'sheiro HaKarov Elov. It's not necessarily saying it as voluntary, but one may think that he wants to be holier and say, no, I'm a Kohen, and I don't want to get Kiyim L'sheiro HaKarov Elov. You know, it's telling us for the Krovim, it is proper to make yourself Tameh. For these seven Krovim, one does do it. And that's an interesting facet over here, which comes into play what I wanted to say. One thing just before I get to that, one thing that I always stress to mention, the Kohen Gadol, it says he also has an added restriction over a regular Kohen, where while all the people he's not allowed to marry, he also is not allowed to marry an Almana, same as a Kohen is allowed, a regular Kohen is allowed to, and we stress it every year because it's a very interesting fact, but it's a necessary point to make, that the problem with an Almana is not anything that she has done, but the Kohen Gadol needs to have a peaceful life. And since his duties will keep him away from home for many parts of the year at longer stretches when it comes Yom Tovim and various other times when he's needed by the people, the fact remains that if the Almana, as she is an Almana, she's had a previous husband, the husband that she had previously was home much more often, and she will compare him, my other husband was home much more, and will make for an unhappy situation. And that's the only reason an Almana has nothing to do with Kedusha, but God is also interested in making a happy marriage for various other things that we, the Gemara in Kedushin and Ksuvos discusses. What are the proper modes of marriage? Who is properly getting married to who? But what I wanted to get to the point here, the parasha ends on a very strange story. It says, V'nokev Shem Hashem Moshimos. It says, Vayetze ben Isha Yisraelis v'hu ben Ish Mitzri, Vayikoves Hashem. Now, it mentions who his mother was, and it mentions who his father is. And it says, V'shem imo Shlomis bas Divri. And so the Mefarshim want to get into, why does it say, Shol Shlomis bas Divri? We don't mention the name of Tzlofkot, and why should we have mentioned, we don't mention the name of the person, but the fact is, we're just saying it, bas Divri. Chazal wants to darshan the fact that she talked too much. In other words, women are, in those days certainly, would be better off, better suited to be, not to go out amongst other people, not amongst her own, but the problem was she was of the opinion to speak to everybody, just be very nice to all people around, and she was very nice and would say good morning even to a Mitzri. And when the Mitzri came on to her, and this child was a product of a relationship between this woman and a Mitzri because she was good to him. The son wanted to carry on his mother's attitude, V'shemimo Shlomis Bas Divri. Shlomis was her name, but Bas Divri, she was a woman who spoke too much. She was too friendly, and the son felt the same way, and he tried to convince other people to be that way. And that's what it was, that by Inotsuba Machaneh, people were telling him to stop trying to influence other people. It's one thing to be involved and to do something on your own, but to be a Mesis Umadiach, to try to make other people do what you're doing, if it's the wrong thing, that is out of turn. And because of that, it says, Vayikov, and he cursed the name of God. And therefore, we know that he had to be killed. Interestingly enough, it says, Vayigumu also oven. All of Klal Yisrael, seemingly, as opposed to the Mekoshe Sheitzim, where it says, Vayigumu also bo avonim, with many stones, there were people who didn't quite understand why the Mekoshe would be killed. They all had different reasons and different attitudes, but everybody agreed that the was somebody who curses the name of God had to be done away with. And the fact is, we're telling us, V'hu ben Ish Mitzri, he did not have the father. Elazar and Isamar have, they were brought up by Aaron, and they follow. The father's role is, the difference is, a mother can bring up a child, but also the father has to be involved from the day one. Too many fathers we know that go have too many things to do, and they're not around. It's very difficult. And the same thing happened over here. Behu ben ish mitzri. It wasn't necessarily the fault of that, but his mother was at fault for starting the relationship, even though she was raped. She was doing something that possibly that she doesn't know. We don't know the particulars, but this is what Chazal want to tell us, because God gives us information that we need to know. And that is what we're dealing with over here. Behu ben ish mitzri, but his father was a mitzri, and therefore wasn't able to bring him up properly, as opposed to the beginning where Aaron had the opportunity. So Amor el Aaron, Amor el Kohanim, b'nei Aaron v'yomartu aleihem. It's a double lashon to tell the father, to stress, to say that sometimes you just say something, but you have to stay on top of the situation. You have to monitor. It doesn't just work to tell your son, to tell a child, to tell whatever, whoever your child is, to keep on telling him once, twice, three times, not to browbeat him certainly, but to watch his progress and to see. You have to be responsible for the entire life. And I always make it sounds very funny, but when I was well into my 50s and my mother was just following me in the house one time after I needed to wash my hands, and after I washed my hands, I saw her following me from the sink. And I said, "Why are you following me?" And she said, "I just wanted to see if he was still saying Asher Yotzah." And this was just very funny. But my point is, it sounds funny, but the point is, parenting never stops. The point is, if we want our children to follow in our footsteps, it's going to be very difficult. There is an introduction to Sefer Avos from, it's very interesting because I found that it's not often that I would quote the Satmar Rebbe, but he made one thing very clear in his introduction to Sefer Avos, the Maseches Avos, and what he said was, there are a lot of people who want to be very frum and start out to be very frum, but towards the end of life, they need a lot of help. If, God forbid, you're incapacitated in any way, shape, or form, if you have to move in with your children, you need the help of other people, you need the help of your children. If they're not going to be as frum as you want to be, then you're going to have to suffer the consequences of, you're going to end up to be in their category, not in your own category. It's a very bitter pill, but it's a reality check to realize that if you want to be frum till the end on the level that you seem to want to maintain, you have to make sure that your offspring is on the same level as you are, and that takes life's work. And that is what it says, Emor el ha-kohanim b'nei Aaron v'yomartu aleihem l'nefesh lo yitamah b'yamav. You have to stress the fact that if you're a kohen, you may not be tameh except in certain circumstances, but you have to keep on saying it, Emor, Emor, say it once, twice, as many times as necessary. And that's what that's the very important point that I wanted to make tonight. And have a very good evening. Thank you very much.